Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic has been the catalyst for many changes in consumer behavior, including the search for more ways to budget and improve finances. Now, as a result, buy now, pay later is quickly becoming mainstream in the payments industry. With online purchases growing exponentially, consumers are taking advantage of buy now, pay later's ease of use in paying later when given the opportunity. Demand for this convenient payment option has grown tremendously as consumers have looked to make a more active role in managing their financial lives. Now, research has also shown that over 50% of U.S. consumers have used BNPL option in the past 12 to 14 months. So to take a look at buy now, pay later with a specific lens for credit unions, I have Jeremiah Lotz, who is the Managing Vice President of Digital and Data for PSCU, and Brian Riley, who is the Director of the Credit Advisory Service Practice at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot of data and insight to unpack on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show. So Jeremiah and Brian, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today's episode here. And we're really going to be taking a deep dive really into buy now, pay later, particularly for credit unions here. And this is certainly a very fascinating topic. Now, before we kind of dive into that, Brian, I know that your organization at Mercator Advisor Group has this fantastic chart that's taking a look at estimated U.S. buy now, pay later borrowing in the United States here. And for those of you who are following along on paymentsjournal.com, you're going to be able to view this chart that Brian's unpacking below. But Brian, to kind of help set the stage for the rest of this conversation, perhaps you could unpack this chart and maybe pull out some of the kind of the key highlights from your perspective.
Thanks, Ryan. I'd be happy to. There's a couple of metrics that drive the industry, the credit card industry, if you will. Some have to do with revolving credit, other have to do with transaction sales. But this is one to really hone in on, and it's the emergence of buy now, pay later lending. In a lot of ways, buy now, pay later lending has been around for a long time. There's companies like GE who have been in it since the 40s, even Household Finance did it too. But buy now, pay here lending in its current form is engineered to fit into a household budget and provide a transaction finance for a medium ticket or small ticket item that gets paid in 4 transactions over time. And it's been something fintechs have attached themselves to in an aggressive way. Much of the development came out of the Nordic region and also Australia, but it's been in the United States for about 2 years in a generally accepted form. But we do see rapid growth between now and 2024. And you can see on this chart that transaction volume scaling up to about $114 billion by 2024. The interesting thing about buy now, pay here lending is that it started to really gain scale during COVID. And the timing was perfect for it because these are small ticket items that you would typically find on an online channel. And many people that were not prepared for credit with the credit scores or having the financial wherewithal to qualify for bank grade lending were able to get loans. And now as the industry is evolving, financial institutions of all types are starting to have a play into it. And what you'll hear from Jeremiah in a few moments is really a solution that's custom made for the credit union industry. And with that, let me have Jeremiah weigh in.
Thanks, Brian. I think there's a couple of very interesting things that you laid out there. One, the idea that this buy now, pay later concept isn't necessarily new, but it is being driven right now by some fintech and technology opportunities. And if you could kind of look at consumers how the evolution of consumer experiences are taking way, this is really an opportunity for, as you mentioned, financial institutions and fintechs to meet consumers where they are from a technology perspective and provide them a level of convenience that kind of matches to today's world. And if you can almost think of this as a modernized retail layaway type of program, right? But the opportunity here is with the touch of a finger on your digital devices, you can get the product that you're looking for, but you also can then set up some terms and some long-term payment options that match to your experiences and your expectations. And I think that's really when you start to think about the growth opportunity here, it really kind of ties into not just the opportunity for individuals to get goods now and pay for them later, but it also ties into how they want to manage their income, how they want to manage their expenses, and how to leverage those digital technologies to do so. And so you're seeing, you know, others enter this space, financial institutions, fintechs, as you indicated, driving that growth. Apple recently announced that they will be doing something similar in their solution. Under development today, they're looking at how they put kind of an Apple Pay later capability in there. So that growth that you guys have outlined, you know, really starts to make sense when you think about the convenience and opportunity to those consumers.
You know, it seems like everybody wants to be a buy now, pay here lender at this point. You have Apple is certainly an example. You have PayPal. MasterCard and Visa have their own options. Many banks have their own. And the reason that everybody's going into this space is that the appeal to Gen Zs and millennials is really high. And we've seen that in survey data that we've done for primary research within the card industry. There's two particular components of the demographics that are going there. Those are with higher incomes and those that are specifically on the younger age scale, which is an area where customers are really attractive to any financial institution because getting in it at a young age with customer or a member is where you'd start nurturing that relationship for life, for the credit life cycle.
Yeah, and that's certainly interesting. And Brian, you know, you kind of brought up that those two segments there, Generation Z and millennials. And obviously we were kind of talking about a lot of fintechs entering this space as well as all the others that you had described there. I'm curious though, and Jeremiah, I'd like to start with you on this one. What consumer segments are most likely to use buy now, pay later, and why?
Yeah, good question. I think, you know, as Brian was laying out the millennials and Gen Z as key target demographics here, I think the why really ties into one, experience. So these are digital natives. These are individuals who have grown up in this world in which they have instant gratification opportunities. So in this case, you are instantly able to get a hold of this product or this service that you're looking for, and they have the ability to make it work for them under their terms, which is, you know, breaking it into a different type of payment type and to kind of digitally drive that interaction. So I do think it is millennials and Gen Z. I don't think that it means that others won't be interested in leveraging this type of flexibility, but that instant gratification and really being able to get a hold of a product, maybe that you couldn't in full today, but to break up that capability of paying it, again, much like a traditional layaway opportunity is attractive to that type of generation and that type of user.
And Jeremiah hits on an interesting point here. When you look at age segments, and this is something the Federal Reserve studies, and how are people accumulating debt? It's actually the segment that is 70 years and older that is growing faster than the millennial group. And that's exactly where you don't want to be growing. You know, as you attach to customers or members, you want to be able to get in and nurture them for life. And that's that longstanding relationship is important. So aiming there. And then when you talk about digital natives, what a way to do your transaction, do it all within the confines of your cell phone. And whether it's at the point of sale or whether it's online, it's about as convenient as it can get.
Yeah, no, I'd like to touch upon that because, I mean, really what I'm hearing from a large point is just kind of the stickiness of this and allowing credit unions to be able to maintain that stickiness. And as Brian kind of put up, kind of entering a lot of your younger consumers and kind of nurturing that relationship and being able to grow that relationship. But Jeremiah, let's put a credit union perspective on this now. So what should credit unions and financial institutions know about this buy now, pay later trend? Is it something that is just a trend and is going to go away? Is it here to stay? What should we really be focusing on as a credit union?
Yeah, I definitely think it's more than a trend. I think that long-term relationship that you're able to build with that consumer, especially when we're looking at the demographics of those who are most likely to leverage this, the long-term relationship that you can build and offering them the opportunity to build credit, to ultimately rely on you as a financial institution for other needs. You're likely to increase your overall installment. You're likely to increase your relationship with those consumers If you certainly are giving them kind of financial wellness and helping guide them in the right way of managing their finances, this is a perhaps an entry point, or this is maybe one of the first things that they will do for you or with you. But then when they start to understand the credit union's opportunities, capabilities, their view into how helping consumers is important to them, as long as, you know, credit unions continue to leverage this as, you know, one of their opportunities and educate the consumers around these other services that they provide, I think it definitely creates a long-term revenue generation for those financial institutions, but then also gives these consumers the ability to truly understand how credit unions are there for them in their overall financial relationship.
And something I like about this offering is it fits in with the purpose of PSEU. And in a lot of ways, when small institutions have to compete with big money center banks, you would think that there could be a shortfall in what the offerings can be. But when you look at the services that can be wrapped around the credit union credit card, you can do everything a large institution can, you know, from a reward structure to a buy now, pay here, buy now, pay later option. And that's an important piece to have within the quiver, because it is a highly competitive market. Within the US market, as an industry, there's $60 billion in revolving credit that goes through credit unions. This is a significant number, certainly. It's more than many small countries have in their total throughput. So having those capabilities that can allow the credit union to stand up to a money center bank is something that's significant. And this is a good example.
You know, Brian, one of the things that you just mentioned there was around rewards. And I think that's a good opportunity as well for credit unions to realize they have an advantage perhaps over some of these fintechs, and that you know, these fintechs are able to offer a very specific piece of functionality. But as a credit union, if you put this in the spirit of your entire offering, tie it to your rewards program, tie it to offerings of other solutions, it really does start to solidify you as that primary financial institution.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'd kind of like to discuss about just fintechs for a second here, because I mean, I certainly find it very interesting in terms of their most of their strategies when entering into the payments ecosystem here. And they kind of really have a particular solution that they come into the market with and really kind of try to gain as much market share as they possibly can with that. And as consumers kind of get used to these new fintech offerings that are out there, do you, Jeremiah, from your perspective, do you feel that buy now, pay later is really kind of at that table stakes moment for credit unions, in that it is something that they need to offer? Otherwise, they could see some of their members looking elsewhere to be able to provide a service like this.
I think flexibility is definitely table stakes at this point for consumers and credit unions. Again, if you look at all of the opportunities that are put in front of you every day as purchaser of some types of goods, there are many options available for you. I think credit unions are in a place now where they have invested heavily in digital applications. They have invested heavily in helping consumers with financial wellness. And I think really what this is about flexibility. And so while right now it is, you know, buy now, pay later opportunity, you know, continuing that flexibility as that consumer continues to grow in their needs, with this offering today and something else in the future is absolutely table stakes for credit unions at this point.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Now, if I could, I want to stay with you, Jeremiah, for this next one. So perhaps maybe you could kind of tell us then about PSEU's offering of new installment payment solution.
Absolutely. Thank you. So, you know, PSEU recently in the year announced that we were moving forward with an installment payment capability, truly a, you know, kind of a buy now, pay later or pay differently opportunity. And so what this will do is it will leverage the consumer's card account through the financial institution. They will make a purchase, and then they will be able to leverage their digital experience, PSU's digital mobile application that we put out into the market through our credit union relationships, to go in and take that installment or take that purchase that they made and turn it into an installment plan that benefits them, that works for them. And what this really does as a consumer is it puts that control in their hands. It creates that flexibility that consumers are looking for. And from a financial institution perspective, it gives them the opportunity likely to have a different type of spend and a different type of transactional relationship with that consumer than maybe they would have in the past. As a consumer, I'm likely to make a larger purchase knowing that I have this flexibility and this opportunity. So perhaps I was going to buy a large household item. Maybe I can get the one that is the, you know, the one with the wish list items, not just the necessities, because I have this flexibility offered by my credit union that's easy for me to go do. So what we'll be able to do in this digital experience is allow that consumer to know that there's this option available to them when they make a purchase. They will then go purchase that item, and then in their online or mobile application, they'll select that transaction and be able to turn it into a installment payment model that works best for them. So to illustrate this experience, we've got some visuals here that kind of show that mobile opportunity. And if you look at a transaction that this consumer has made, the flexibility here in that transaction is offered to them by options the financial institution has put together. So they can break this transaction into 3, 6, 9 monthly payments, however best fits them. And it automatically is set up so that the payment, when it is made through that financial institution, will go directly to that installment type. So there's no connectivity between the payment type and a financial institution necessary here. It's already built into your card relationship with the credit union. The credit union then has the opportunity to even continue to reward that member through that transaction. And even through leveraging this type of functionality, give them some additional opportunities in the future based off of their behavior and their overall expectations. And so you can see here, this experience is pretty simple from a consumer perspective. You make a transaction, you pick what works best for you, you accept those terms, and you're on your way.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll end it on that note there. So Jeremiah, Brian, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about Buy Now, Pay Later, particularly as it relates to credit unions. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you, Ryan.